and they understood none of these things. These things were hidden from them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. I've been corresponding every day with our Father Valery. He tells me this morning that the bombing started at 8 o'clock, and there is indeed fighting in the streets of Kiev, the capital. He lives not too far away from that, and very close to his own apartment building, an apartment building a few hundred yards away, was destroyed. He remarked, "Rulers use poor people to kill each other." But at the same time, he continues, he wrote yesterday, "But there are some good things that happen. There is no longer," this is a quote, "there is no longer coronavirus. There are no cases, no vaccination, no mask mandate, no social distancing. You will have noticed that also. The screen is suddenly gone blank. That's spooky. You wonder what's next. Now, it's all war, all the time. Today is Holy Face Sunday. You will recall that our Lord, 2 years before the first communist revolution worldwide, 1848, gave the devotion and the prayers to be said as an antidote to communism, to conquer it. Resolve, if you've neglected since Lent ended last year, to continue every day that Holy Face devotion, especially on the Tuesdays of this week. The Tuesdays of each week of the year are the day dedicated to our Lord's Holy Face. I was going to talk to you about masking today, which hides the beauty of the face and personalities, but it's disappearing too. The school children, though, public and parochial schools, will be the last to be allowed to breathe freely, because it is very important that they should grow up with the concept of total submission to the state and great sacrifices that even little children are told they have to make without questioning, whether they understand it or not. That's very similar to the soldiers who are fighting right now in this three-way communist war. You've got Ukraine and Russia and the United States, and all of those leaders in cahoots with each other and with the one world government, the Schwab and his World Economic Forum. All of it planned in advance, like COVID, carefully scripted, and all of it lies, all leading to the next stage, universal social discipline, as they have in communist China. Most people, even the well-informed, just don't see it. The apostles in today's gospel didn't understand either. They had been with our blessed Savior 3 years, and he taught his seminarians well, humility and patience and zeal in word and example. But still, their thoughts were earthbound, and their hopes, like those of so many in America and Russia and Ukraine, also earthbound, based on a national hero who would come to throw off the oppressive yoke of the invader and establish the Jewish kingdom. The people remembered, after our Lord multiplied the loaves and the fishes in the desert, wanted to come by force and make our Lord to be their king. As for the apostles, all the way through Holy Week, they were still dreaming of power, some plummy position for each one of them, and prestige. As our rulers today, did you know that most of them have a relative drawing a salary from the Ukrainian gas company? Imagine the story there. You've got Biden and Pelosi and Obama, and on the other side of the aisle, Romney. Then comes the Lamb of God to say, "No, boys, we're heading to Jerusalem. The Son of Man shall be delivered to the Gentiles there, and scourged and mocked and spit upon, and they shall put him to death." And they, St. Luke notes, understood none of these things. For his kingdom is not based on economic or military or political power, but on suffering, on the scandal of the cross. Still blind, those apostles would have done well to line up behind the blind man of Jericho and ask, "Lord, let me see." But the truth of the matter is that truth is one. You don't have politics over here, and that's all up for grabs, and then religion that's pretty much up for grabs over here with the latest theories of the day. No. Christ is King of all, and he reigns, or he does not. And if he reigns, it is from the only cross, the only throne the world has ever granted him. And it's the cross. This doctrine upsets all of our neat distinctions, our ideas of humility and suffering. The truth is often unwelcome or even unknown, even, dare I say, especially to pious souls. We just don't get it. It's hid from our eyes. It affects us too, as long as we're stopping at Jericho. We should get in line too, behind that blind man, to get our vision checked as we begin our annual Jerusalem journey. It goes to Calvary. And you don't have to go too far to meet the cross. We want to remember in Lent, we're soldiers, and that Jesus is the master we serve, the king. The other rulers force their subjects to submit. That's the nature of propaganda, to elicit an immediate and a visceral or a gut reaction, which you can't resist, you can't help. Without this, none of the wars of the 20th century would ever have gotten off the ground, nor the scandemic, for that matter. And all to lead mankind to submit, not to the sweet yoke of Jesus and of Mary, but to that total social, which means financial, control, waiting in the wings. And we this Lent? Well, I've resolved I'm going to give up preaching for a while and leave the pulpit to the deacons to exercise their newly received office of preaching. It's easy to parse the news and to pierce the bubble with a contrary thought or a fact or two. But the greater challenge awaits all of us on the road to Jerusalem. We need to control self. In this little kingdom, I must be king so that our Lord might reign over me. Like good soldiers of Christ, I need to tighten up the discipline in my own unit and to remember our cause is Christ, his cross, not only in those sober, solitary battles against temptation or the sincere moments of sorrow for our many sins of the past, but in the way we conduct ourselves in daily life. You will remember kindness, won't you? And courtesy. We have something to learn, not only from our Lord, but from those other soldiers of history, the soldiers even of our own land. Good example is everywhere. Open your eyes, see it. Learn it in the past, and history. You wouldn't want to be a part of today's army, that's for sure. But consider how it used to be. That is to say, discipline, respect, self-control, which soldiers of old were trained to exhibit, the uniform, the salute, the regulations, a proper pride, and a proper deference. Propaganda only lasts until you stop and think of it and have the grace to come across a fact or two. I remember once giving confirmation in Italy, outside of Modena, where the great opera singer Pavarotti was born. And we were in a large sort of chateau out in the country. And the owners told me the story of what happened there. They remember during World War II, German soldiers were billeted with them. They were just children then. And they were so impressed with the soldiers, at their discipline, at their courtesy, and their respect, and how each one of those German soldiers had a missile, Germans called the Schottbuch, in their knapsack as they went off to war. Or the Russians. I met a woman once in Vienna, and she reminisced about her childhood. It was just the women, the men were off to the war, and they were in a farmhouse that the family had near the great Cistercian monastery of Heiligenkreuz outside of Vienna. And to get to Sunday Mass, she was just a little girl, about 6 or 7. To get to Sunday Mass, you had to cross a big open field, and there were Russians about, and she was deadly afraid. Well, one day the Russians came, and they checked everything at their farm. Then they went on to the neighbors. Nothing happened, except later on that day, a side of beef was delivered by Russian soldiers to that family. They had all these little girls. And it turns out the Russians had requisitioned a cow or two from the neighbors and did a little redistribution. When you hear the stories and you know the examples, you realize life is far more complicated than the propagandists would have you believe. The generals, the great generals of history too, all of them were men, you know, of courtesy and of kindness, manners, self-discipline, because they were great men. George Washington, two other members of the Congressional Congress, made a bet between themselves, would one be brave enough to go up behind Washington and slap him on the back and greet him. He was a man of severe manners and formality. One of them did that, and he lived to regret it. And Robert E. Lee, his stories, the Civil War. General Grant, the same. And for the French, the Maréchal Foch, the Maréchal Pétain. They were all men of honor. Regardless of the side or the cause they happen to be fighting for. Today, who rules us? Comedians, actors, thieves, communists. As Virgil wrote of old in the Aeneid, sunt lacrimae rerum, these are things for tears. I saw a video yesterday. They warn you about the videos on the internet, though, that some of them are many of them really are not accurate, but it was a video of a young Russian soldier, doubtless disoriented and tired, and is sitting on the stoop porch outside a house being berated by the neighbors of that particular place. And this, he's all by himself, and the soldier is weeping. He was doubtless one of what they call a 30-day recruit. He had no idea why he was there and no idea what he ought to be doing. I can't help contrasting him, a good representative of today's age, with a great patron saint of youth we honor today, Saint Gabriel of the Sorrowful Mother. He lived 200 years ago, but his start was remarkably modern. He was a handsome fellow, and he was a great marksman. He knew how to ride a horse. He danced very well. They called him Il Ballerino, the dancer, or also Damerino, the little ladies' man. They say he was engaged to two different girls at the same time. He had the faith, and there was death and illness about, especially the plague of cholera. And when it came near him, he always prayed, and then he made a promise. And he never kept his promises. It was to go into the seminary, join a religious order. And finally, he was at the procession of Our Lady of Spoleto, and this is a sorrowful virgin. They were carrying the image on a banner. And he looked at the banner, and it seemed the eyes of Our Lady were alive, as at Guadalupe. And he heard in his heart the words, "Adesso, Francesco, now, Francis, you keep your promise." And so he did. He entered the Passionists out of his devotion to our Lord's Passion. And there, during the time of the red shirts, first of all, trying to overturn the papal government, their town was threatened severely by marauding soldiers, and no one would stand up to them. So, and the father superior had locked himself in the room, his own room. So he knocked on the door, Brother Gabriel did, and he asked permission to take the gun, which was under the priest's bed, and to go out to see about these soldiers. And he received permission. He went out, and there they were. They were attacking a girl, and he gets out the gun, and there's a lizard at that very moment crossing the road, darting across the road. Lizards are fast. He killed it with one bullet. The communist soldier, seeing that, realized they had met their match, and they left town. He brings the gun back to the Father Superior and goes back to being a humble novice of the Passionist order. Christ's last journey saw him surrounded and tortured by soldiers as he carried the cross. They led him to the eighth station. Make the stations during Lent. Make them well. You have plenty of opportunities each week. The women of Jerusalem were weeping. They don't know what to do. But our Lord knows. He stops and he says kindly but firmly, "Weep not for me. Weep for yourselves. Weep for your children. If they do this in the greenwood, what will they do in the dry?" Most people have no idea what is going on in this world or how to go on in it so as to reach the next world happily, heaven, any more than did the women of Jerusalem that Good Friday. All they knew was how to weep, sob with sympathy. They understood, St. Luke would say, none of these things. And this is worthy of tears. Jesus Christ thinks so. He weeps for us and for the sad, sad scenes of a world which will have him not. Tears on thy sacred face, O Lord, the old hymn sung before Mass this morning. He weeps for us this Lent. And why? These things are hid from us. Not even the lessons of history and of the soldiers is remembered. Here we are, all of us, though, still, and we remember, I'm a soldier. I have to render an account to my commanding officer. I am still enrolled in his army. And how is it with you, my soul? But they understand none of these things. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.